Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Outer Continental Shelf and Causation Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On January 11, 2012, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Pacific Operators Offshore, LLP, versus Valladolid. The question in this case is whether an employee who spent nearly all of his time working on an offshore platform and was killed in an accident at an offshore facility suffered his injuries as a result of operations conducted on the Outer Continental Shelf, thereby giving his widow a claim for benefits under the Longshore and Harbor Workers' Compensation Act by way of the Outer Continental Shelf Lands Act, or OCSLA. An administrative law judge and review board denied benefits because the accident occurred onshore, but the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit reversed, concluding that a benefits claimant need only establish a substantial nexus between the injury and extractive operations on the Outer Continental Shelf. In an opinion delivered by Justice Thomas, and joined by Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Kennedy, Ginsburg, Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan, the court affirmed the Ninth Circuit and remanded the case for further proceedings. The Outer Continental Shelf Lands Act, the court held, extends coverage to an employee who can establish a substantial nexus between his injury and his employer's extractive operations on the Outer Continental Shelf. Justice Scalia filed an opinion concurring in part and concurring in the judgment in which Justice Alito joined. To discuss the case, we have Richard Epstein, professor at the New York University School of Law, and Professor Emeritus at the University of Chicago Law School. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Epstein.
Hi, this is Richard Epstein. I'm talking to you from Palo Alto, California, and I'm speaking today about a case which was decided unanimously by the United States Supreme Court called Pacific Operators Offshore versus Valladolid. And it's a case which has attracted a fair bit of the attention, notwithstanding the fact that it's concerned with the construction of one of the more obscure statutes on the books, Section 1333B of the Outer Continental Shelf Lands Act, which regulates the kinds of accidents that takes place with respect to people who work with, on, or near the Outer Continental Shelf. The language in question that caused the Supreme Court a lot of sort of anxiety was as follows. With respect to disability or death of an employee resulting from any injury occurring as the result of operations conducted on the Outer Continental Shelf for the purposes of exploring, developing, removing, or transporting by pipeline the natural resources, and so on. And the key word in this particular phrase is how it is that we deal with the word resulting from, which seems to import some kind of causal relationship between the work that takes place on the Outer Continental Shelf and the injury or death for what has happened. Now, in order to put this case in perspective, it's interesting to see how it is that you describe the facts of the situation. There's only a very cryptic decision of these facts in the opinion by Justice Thomas. He describes it as having resulted from a forklift accident while taking place on land by a worker who spent most of his time working on the Outer Continental Shelf. And the more precise description of this case was mailed to me by a reader who had seen my blog on the SCOTUS blog, a man named John Chamberlain, and this is what he says. It appears that the worker had moved his forklift to a plantain tree, elevated the lift, and stood on it to pluck some fruit. He seems to have fallen, and the lift moved forward and crushed him. Now, the moment you start to hear that kind of description, the first thing that comes to your mind is why this man is entitled to recover workman's compensation benefits under any system, let alone on one which is related to accidents that have their origin or result from activities on the Outer Continental Shelf. The usual workers' compensation rules essentially deny recovery to workers who are engaged in willful or malicious conduct or self-destructive conduct, and my guess is that this case would actually be fairly close to the line under that standard, although probably in the end, since the worker was not trying to commit suicide but was merely reckless in his behavior, he would probably be able to recover. But the question before the court was not whether or not this guy fell within a workers' compensation system, but whether or not he fell within a workers' compensation system that had a site-specific connection to activities that took place on the Outer Continental Shelf. And during the case, it was clear that there were many improbable positions that were put forward, and they were rightly rejected by the Supreme Court. The company, the Pacific Offshore Operators, came up with the rather odd conclusion that this particular case should be denied recovery on the grounds that the incident in question did not take place on the outer continental shelf, and they said that the right rule was that it's the situs of the injury rather than the situs of its origin that should determine the case. And the Supreme Court gave that contention a back-of-the-hand response, saying, we read the text. The text has the words resulting from it, and once those words turn out to be in the text, you can't possibly read out the causation requirement as if it did not exist. The Solicitor General had an every bit as improbable type interpretation, and he said that the key question was where the particular injured party worked the majority of his time. And since Valladolid usually worked as a roustabout out on the outer continental shelf, the fact that he was inland working on this particular forklift did not matter. And conversely, as Justice Thomas pointed out, if it had been the case that an accountant had decided to go out to the outer continental shelf worksite for a day and got hit by a falling boom, he would not be able to recover because standardly his desk job was located on shore. Also an absurdity given the statute. So essentially now the task is to figure out what it is we mean by these elusive and short words resulting from. And it turns out that they're not very easy to explicate because they require some notion of causation, which necessarily links us back to the wilderness of proximate causation, or so we are told, in the law of tort. And the first effort to do this was a Third Circuit effort, which said, in effect, that but for some connection with the outer continental shelf, the accident would not have happened, then it results from it. Now, but for is one of the scandalous tests of causation, because even though it works perfectly well in an ordinary sense, you hit somebody on the head with an axe, and you say, but for the fact that he was hit on the head by an axe, he would not have died, that's a but for causation. But in fact, the real element of causation in that case is the direct application of force with the axe to somebody else's head. And if you use the but for, it works in that case, but then but for the discovery of America, this particular accident would have never taken place, and all of a sudden you can see that systematically applied, the test leads to absurdities. And so what the Supreme Court did was to reject that interpretation as well, and my view is good riddance to bad rubbish with respect to interpretations of that sort. So the question is, if you've got a bad interpretation of what it means by resulting from, how do you get to a good interpretation? And here there was a semantic dispute between Justice Thomas writing for the majority and Justice Scalia writing for a small minority of two people. And essentially the question was whether you use the words substantial nexus, which was the preferred formulation from the Ninth Circuit, or substantial factor, which resonates with the old test of proximate causation developed by Judge Andrews in his famous dissent in Paul's Graf against the Long Island Railroad. And they never tell us exactly what's at stake with respect to the choice between these two definitions. But what the Supreme Court says, in effect, is, gee, we've got these vague, nebulous tests. We know that judicious men can put one case on this side of the line and another on that side of the line. Woe is unto us. We leave it for the lower courts to work all of this stuff out. And this is, in fact, a genuine tragedy, intellectually speaking. That is, if you actually looked at the description I gave you about the man on the forklift by the plantain tree, the clear implication on this case is that this kind of foolish accident could have taken place on land without regard to anything that happened on the sea. This is not a case where, for example, a dangerous cargo is shipped onto shore and a shore worker opens it up and he's sprayed with some kind of a toxic chemical. This is completely locally generated. In fact, if you were to do this, you would never have a cause of action for a defective forklift against the manufacturer. The workman's compensation case would simply come from the fact that it was work-related, i.e., it took place on the job and was somehow or other loosely understood in the course of employment. So the right test in these cases, which the Supreme Court should have announced, is this. Was there any increased risk or hazard to a worker who was injured on the land in virtue of the operations that had been carried out at sea? That increased risk or hazard test is very much a part of the law of causation in the law of tort, and it also turns out to be a very key element with respect to the law of workers' compensation. The only wrinkle that you have to do is change the words course of employment to source of origin by way of geography, and the case is done. So the right disposition of this case was to give a longer description of the facts, indicate what the proper causation test is so there's some guidance for the lower courts, and then basically dismiss the case on the grounds that there isn't enough to get to any kind of administrative hearing, any kind of jury determination, as it were, because the case is so open and shut that this is a land-based workman's compensation case, if it's anything at all. And there's a kind of a larger message that I think comes out of this particular case. The United States Supreme Court today fancies itself very much as a public law court that deals with constitutional issues and statutory issues of one kind or another. But the truth of the matter is, in this case, as in so many others, all of these constitutional and statutory constructs build off the basic common law tools that have been with us for a very long time. And if you don't spend your time on the Supreme Court or anywhere else in analyzing what these particular terms mean and how they are used in practice, what will happen is you will just create gratuitous uncertainty. In this particular situation, there's no reason to leave open the idea of what we mean by either a substantial nexus or a substantial factor without explication. There's no need to have a new trial with respect to the case. This is, when you give the full treatment of cases about the forklift and the plantain tree, a no-brainer, and it should have been treated that way by the United States Supreme Court. This is Richard Epstein from Palo Alto. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.